Hello, everyone. I'm Tamarack, and this is The Diamond Path. This is a weekly show about situations in life and how to deal with them with a Buddhist idea behind it. This week, we're talking about security and peace. Security and peace. What does it mean to be secure and at peace? When we think of being secure, do we think of locks and security systems, walls or gates? Do we think of all the best stockpiles of vaccines, a strong army? Do we feel secure if we harden our heart against the world? Is that how we might feel more secure, more peaceful? We look at places like Iraq or Sudan. Where's the security there? Those people are living terrible lives right now. There's no peace, no security. So how can we talk about peace and security in the world? And how can we change the security and the peace in the world? And how can we change it within ourselves? Well, that is the punchline, and I'll give it to you early. We'll never find peace and security unless we find it in ourselves first. It makes a good bumper sticker. Most bumper stickers sound pretty good. I like bumper stickers. It's a whole art form. So how do we find peace? How do we find peace within ourselves when it seems like the whole world is just a mess and we're afraid of everything? Every day there's a new disease or a new war or a new outrageous tragedy somewhere, natural or man-made. How do we find peace in a world that's filled with these kinds of things? Well, as I said, we start at home. We look at our own reactions to things to see if they're peaceful. If we hear someone is for Iraq or someone is for the war, do we get all angry at them? Do we get upset with them? Do we call them names? Where's the peace in that? We can't talk about other people's anger and other people's warring ways without adjusting the view and looking inside. How do we react to things like that? We have to act locally, think globally. So starting at home, if someone, let's just say someone bothered you or they did something in a traffic situation, or let's just say a friend said something kind of nasty to you, how does one react to that? A lot of us will react to that as opposed to act. We'll get our defenses up. We'll feel threatened. Our security is at stake. And here, security, just another word for ego, but nonetheless, our security is at stake. And our solution may be to act out in a negative way, in a hurtful way, to make the other person feel bad, to make us feel good. Of course, it's a friend. It usually turns around after a little while, and then we feel kind of bad about saying it. But nonetheless, our first action was a non-peaceful action. We reacted, and we hurt somebody. So how do we start being peaceful? If you're not a peaceful person, how do we start? Well, it starts in a very small way with our interactions with everyone around us. That's the first step. If we can walk with equanimity and talk with equanimity and be with our friends and our not-so-friendly people with equanimity, there's peace in that. If we fail to react when someone metaphorically steps on our toes, and we just maybe just kind of give a little chuckle, realize that perhaps they weren't paying attention and or didn't understand you, or were just feeling so out of sorts that they couldn't deal with the situation very well, and so they come out with this negative remark, this negative action, and we can either follow suit and create a little tension, or we can use the equanimity that we're in a constant process of building and just look at that for what it is. That other person was not aware what they just did. Or if they were aware, then they were being just rude. And if they were being rude, that's an action that has consequences. They've just turned you off and they potentially have made you unhappy about their remark. But there's always a place here for being the bigger person. If someone else is rude, do you think they really, really down deep meant to hurt us? Do you think their whole intention was to just disrupt everything with angry words and angry thoughts? Or were they reacting to something you may have said? People act out of ignorance quite often. And people act because they weren't paying attention to the actual situation and understanding the ramifications of what their words and actions may mean. So when someone does something that gets on our nerves, that angers us, the first step is to look at the anger over time and develop the ability to take that anger and set it aside, at least for a moment. Sometimes that moment is all you need to create peace in the situation. So we set it aside, and that moment becomes a more peaceful moment. What happens in an interaction like this? Well, if you don't react to something they did, and you act out of a compassionate heart, and as I said, just a little snicker, a chuckle, a smile, and then maybe just an apology. You don't have to be effusive. You may even have been absolutely right, and they were absolutely wrong, but how hard would it be for us to simply say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean any disrespect, I didn't understand, or I never really meant to hurt you. Some little salve put over the burn that they just created with their anger will go a long way to easing the situation and making both parties come away in a better space. The other person feels good. They may have realized that with your apology that they went overboard. And when that happens, they apologize, the situation cools, and both, like I said, both people go away feeling this was an interaction that worked out okay. This worked. This worked for me and it worked for the other person. Now, let's just say that it was some argument that you knew you were right and the other person was wrong and they were being a little bullheaded. But it wasn't an argument, let's say, that was going to result in some major decision that had to be made. Let's just say it was just a little tiff between lovers, tiff between friends. So you've got this situation that could get out of hand. You've just calmed it. You've made them feel better. But you know darn well they were wrong. But you did it anyway. You saw the situation here was much more important to keep the relationship and even the moment truer and more peaceful, and that you didn't need to absolutely win this one. If you understood that you were right, that's often quite enough for a mind that's not constantly fighting its ego and constantly fighting other egos to try to get supremacy in action or deed, ideas, my way. If you can get past that and just relax in that and say, I'm sorry, and kind of eat that little bit of pride that springs up, well, you've not only made the other person feel good, but you've done something for yourself, and I'll talk just a bit about this right now. It's called acquiring merit. Acquiring merit. We use that word a lot. It's actually an important component of karma. I'd mentioned it in an earlier broadcast, merit. If we have an action that is good, then that action becomes imprinted on our consciousness as merit. Now, there's no outside force, there's no other that's giving you this merit. There's no great tally in the sky that's counting good and bad and figuring out where you fit on the merit scale. Merit is an understanding that you have done something good, something noble. And the more you do that something good or something noble, and the less you think about how it's going to do something good for you, how you're going to profit from this, if you can divorce yourself from the profit in a good deed, the merit is much greater than if you do the good deed, but in the back of your mind, you know, well, you know, now these people are going to like me. Maybe I can get this contract. It's still a good deed, but the merit in one that is given selflessly is a much greater merit. So merit is an accumulated accumulation of good deeds that eventually builds the psyche that rests comfortably in its merit, rests comfortably in who it is. Merit allows our minds to expand to fill the space that we can envision. If you envision yourself as a noble person, doing noble deeds, doing good works, or just, by golly, being a darn nice person, that spreads good feelings. And the more good feelings you spread, the more good deeds you do, the more merit you accumulate, the more your mind is taking on that meritorious level, the better you feel about yourself, the more you can do more meritorious deeds. It's this self-fulfilling prophecy. Good merit begets good merit. So let's leave merit for a moment and get back to perhaps dealing with threats a little more serious than someone dissing you, someone showing you disrespect and having to deal with it. Let's look more world stage stuff, or let's start with more serious stuff. Let's say someone attacks you. Let's say we have that kind of action happening. Somebody has made an attempt on your life, your person, your property. Now, one can react with that with anger and fight back. And I would say that that's an improper way of doing it. Fighting back is not the improper way. Fighting back angry is the improper way. If someone or something becomes a threat, and for you to deal with it, you have to get angry, you're dealing with a whole new set of mind complications and chemical complications in the body that are going to impair your ability to act. Yes, we use adrenaline when we're fight or flight and in defense, but if you throw anger into the stew, it becomes a much more volatile and a much less controllable situation for you and for the outcome. Think of these Japanese movies, especially from the 50s, but, well, no, actually there's a big new wave of them now with all the new choreography, like the Flying Daggers and other movies like that. Inevitably, the warrior is faced with overwhelming odds. 8, 10, 12 people with swords, and he's in the middle of a circle all by himself. If he were just to go ballistic and start swinging, they'd chop him down in a second. But if you watch his face and watch his actions, everything is a deliberate, non-emotional treatment of whatever is needed at the time. A block here, a swing there, a stab here, and a thrust there. In other words, he's not working out of anger, because he's not working out of anger, he's on top of the moment. He's not being conflicted by emotions that are going to pull him off center. He is centered, his body centered, his mind centered, and from that central balance point, we can all work more effectively. So this relates to what I was saying in terms of being, it's a peaceful response in the sense that you're not going into the emotional state. You're obviously in a fight, let's say. You're in the middle of a sword fight. But your approach is more about getting the job done in an efficient way without all the anger and the hate and the emotions, because those are the things that'll conflict the mind. This whole concept of the warrior is all based on that. You're not talking about some nutso who's swinging and trying to beat everybody to a pulp as hard and as angry and as fast as he can. The warrior deals almost in the choreography, matching blow for blow, thrust for thrust, watching whatever's coming in and reacting to it in a skillful way, So the Zen concept, this idea of this Zen warrior, was so alive and so pernicious. Oh, that's not the right word. During World War II, I often wondered, where were the Japanese Buddhists during World War II? Where was all this love and enlightenment and stuff there? Well, I happen to know that our school was not particularly involved in the war, and there was actually a few notable protesters. But the Zen school tended to side with the fascist government. They had this whole warrior idea behind them of working skillfully for whatever needed to be done. And this isn't denigrating Zen and is only partially illustrating what I'm talking about. But just to say, just to complete the thought, so the Zen Buddhists tended to back the fascist government and to be pretty pro-war because they considered themselves protectors of the nation. And though they didn't, similarly, they didn't do it angrily, they didn't back it angrily, they decided if we have to overcome our enemies and this nation must survive, then we will be the warriors. So this whole concept of warriorhood works very well even in the mundane everyday stuff. Let's say you have a flat tire or someone else has a flat tire. You're in the middle of nowhere. You could be a dithering mess if you wanted to go there, or you could be the warrior. You could not sit with your fear, not sit with your anger, and just, with equanimity, get the jack out, get the job done, and move on. If you were to remain upset for a long period of time, the whole outcome would be considerably different. So this whole warrior thing can be brought in pretty much just every phase of life, but it's warrior with a little piece behind it. We don't like the word war in there, but there's a tradition of using this concept of the warrior as someone who gets the job done without getting a lot of emotions in it. So how is it that we can get to this peaceful place? I mentioned how we can try using equanimity in situations. And I think one of the major tools in doing that is to keep an open heart and to be vulnerable. That's right, vulnerable. If we don't put up a defense when things are thrown at us, and I don't mean necessarily literally here, obviously you need to defend yourself against self-defense, against some kind of physical onslaught, but the vast amount of us just go through life with little offenses against us. And we tend to close our heart, we encircle it with anger, we react with fear, and we get retribution. But if we keep an open heart, and that means seeing the others as you, recognizing that all the stupid thing the other person is doing, you've done, we've done, we've all done them. It's so hard at the moment when someone does something stupid to sit back and say, oh, geez, I did that last week, or I've done that half my life. We tend to react. If you keep an open heart, which means a compassionate heart, to look at the other, to recognize in the other everything that is you, to recognize there's very little that happens in the other that doesn't happen in you. If you keep this compassionate, open heart, that will diffuse a vast number of potential problems. And the vulnerability works with it as well. Why do we have to be the one who always wins? Why do we have to be the tough guy? Who do we think we're protecting? Why is it that our ego is so important that we have to build this bastion of strength, aggression around our egos? If we set our egos out and we strip it of its defenses and we become vulnerable. It may seem like a sure way to get a foot in the mouth, but let me tell you, from a guy that grew up pretty fearful when I was young, I was a big guy, so all the bullies used to pick on me. And I'd fool them. I'd cry. I would just kind of shrivel up. I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't fight back. I never got hit. They would kind of, their compassion, their sympathy would come out. And I'd walk away. A few tears in my eyes. Pride hurt. All-important pride. Though I learned to swallow that pretty early. But I didn't lose any teeth. So this vulnerability, this openness, if you're not throwing up defenses, generally people aren't throwing spears at you. If you can keep the walls down and embrace what comes in, as opposed to put the walls up and keep out what comes in, it changes the mindset of both of you. Your mind becomes more open, more compassionate. You glean more wisdom. The other person learns to recognize their own compassion. Most people, when you're in a vulnerable situation, when you're hurt, when you're crying, when you're not resisting, most people will back off. Doesn't work all the time, then you have to be the warrior of the moment. But in most cases, this vulnerability really, really tend to create in your mind especially and in the other mind this openness that is just much more conducive to cooperation and people getting along. And when I say you minimize resistance to the other, there's also a minimizing resistance to change within your life, whether it involves another or not. Most of us have the same kinds of reactions when we find ourselves in a situation where we're becoming attached to a certain viewpoint or a certain thing or a certain whatever it is. We become attached, and then it changes, and all of a sudden, we don't have that attachment anymore. It's gone. We've lost it. Well, there's an angry way of looking at that. There's a resisting way. I won't settle for this. I'm going to fight it. But having a peaceful, open, vulnerable heart is involved in this process as well. You understand that nothing is permanent. Everything changes. So you drop your resistance to change, or you lessen your resistance to change. We all want the good things to continue and the bad things not to start, or if they do, to end quickly. But of course, it doesn't always happen that way. We must learn that a defenseless, open heart is the truest way that we will all reach enlightenment. If your heart is closed, so is your relationship with other people. If our heart is open, other people are now in our heart, and we share it. Another thing about peace, and we'll jump globally here for a moment. Excuse me. And this is just kind of I'm going to just leave you with this thought. Mother Teresa had been asked a number of times to go to an anti-war rally. And she said, no, I will never go to an anti-war rally. But when you have a peace rally, you invite me. Same idea. I am not going to fight against fighting. I will stand for peace. If we resist with the same force that has been thrown against us or that is operating in the world, we've accomplished nothing. The peace has to start at home. We bring it to the table and we use it. All the time. We never drop that peaceful equanimity. So this is the end of the show today. I hope you enjoyed it. We can be heard here every Sunday at 8:30 in the morning on WBCR's 97.7. The show is repeated again on Mondays at 1:30 in the afternoon. We can also be found on the web at www.diamondpath.blogspot.com. My name is Sancho Tamarack Garlo. I'm the leader of the Higashi Sangha in Great Barrington, and we're a branch Sangha of the Tendai Buddhist Institute in Canaan, New York. So until the next time, be mindful and peace.